One of the common problems that afflicts all mankind is described in the book of Proverbs, chapter 21 and verse 2, where he says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Then the second half, he reminds us who is seeing us as we are, and he says, but the Lord ponders the hearts. Very similarly, Proverbs 16 verse 2 says, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Man tends to look at himself in the very best light, a very inaccurate light, to see himself as being right and good, but most often that is not the case. But the Lord is the one that is pondering the hearts and weighing the spirits, and he's going to judge us one day according to who we are and what we've done, not according to how we have managed to cleanse ourselves in our own sight. It is the nature and tendency of man to justify himself and to rationalize and make excuses if he's done something wrong. And then if man is shown his errors, the other tendency that goes along with this is to reject or rebel against and to oppose or even hate, despise the person that may be showing them what is the actual truth of their situation. So if somebody is trying to offer correction to someone, then usually the one who's being corrected is going to attack the one that's trying to help them. In Proverbs chapter 9, verses 7 and 8, he says, he that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. But there are very few that are wise like that, that will love the one who has shown them something that they need to correct. In chapter 15, Proverbs chapter 15, verses 10 through 12, he says, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. Hell and destruction are before the Lord, how much more than the hearts of the children of men? A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 9 says, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. In the New Testament, Jesus gave the same warning in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 6. Matthew 7 verse 6, he says, give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. And so, yes, men will turn against us if we are trying to help them. That is, for the most part, if we perceive that kind of heart and by someone's reaction, then we need to avoid continuing to try to instruct or correct one who's shown himself to be a scorner and wicked in that way. But that's the tendency that man has. Paul had the same situation, unfortunately, the same reaction among his own brethren that he had converted to Christ in Galatians 4, verse 16. He put this in the form of a question based on the way they were responding to him as he was correcting them for problems that they had in the church there, the churches in Galatia. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 16, he says, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Now, how often does that happen where someone will become our enemy because we've told them the truth? Now, sadly, the most sad thing there is that these were Paul's brethren. I mean, these were fellow Christians that were responding that way. So the fact that we are in Christ, is that going to make us immune from that temptation to cleanse ourselves in our own eyes or to reject correction when it comes to us from another brother? We're going to still have that temptation, and we need to be aware of it and be on guard against that. So we need to, as we've seen many times in James chapter 1, 22 through 25, we need to go to God's Word and recognize ourselves in that spiritual mirror that He's provided. We need to go to take a look at ourselves and see what is there, and then not leave that mirror when we see God's Word and have shown to us by His Word who we are and what needs to change. We don't need to go away then and forget all of that and not change it, because then we are only hearers of the Word and not doers. So James 1, 22 through 25 says, "But be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." So the only way for us to be blessed in our deed is for us to hear God's Word, looking in that mirror, and then continuing in it and doing what it has taught. And that includes receiving the correction from the mirror and then making the changes to what we're doing and all of those things as God teaches us to do. God knows the truth about all men, and He is going to judge all men according to who they really are and according to their works that they have done. Though we may deceive ourselves, as He just said in James chapter 1, verse 22, if we're a hearer only and not a doer, we're deceiving our own selves. But when we deceive ourselves and look at every way of our doings as clean, and it's clean in our own eyes, and though we're deceiving ourselves in doing that, are we deceiving God along with ourselves? We're not. God is not deceived, and He's not mocked. In Romans chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, Romans 2, 5 through 11, He says, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also to the Gentile, but glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there is no respect of persons with God." So God is not going to be deceived, and he's going to be judging us according to who we are and what we've done, without being a respecter of persons. So that's how we're going to be judged. It's not going to help us to see ourselves in a way that is different than how God sees us and will judge us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, He says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." And that summary of what's going to happen for us all one day, could it be any more plain? I mean, who's not going to be there to face our Maker in the judgment? He says we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. There's going to be no exemptions. There will be no exceptions. We will all be there before Him. We're all going to be judged. And He's very plain in how we're going to be judged. We're going to receive the things that we have done in this body according to what we have done, whether it be good or bad. And as we know and have seen many times, He's going to use as the standard of judgment for us the gospel of Christ. Those words that Christ has spoken will judge us in that day, as we're going to be judged by that standard according to what we've done and whether we've met the standard or not. And if we go through this life deceiving ourselves and not measuring ourselves according to God's standard, then we are going to face that wrath of God in the judgment. And then it will be too late. So that tendency of man is one that is that does lead to spiritual death. In Revelation 22, verse 12, Revelation 22, 12, the last chapter of the Bible, he says, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." So that reminder is given again at the close of God's revelation to man. At the very end of the Bible, he reminds us of that once more. So we're going to be judged according to who we are and what we've done, not according to what we think we are or how we cleanse our own deeds in our own sight. Back to the book of Proverbs, to chapter 15 and verse 31. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 31. He says, "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise." So there's the right way for us to go. We're going to be despising our own souls if we refuse instruction and hate it, but we are going to be, if we go to receive that reproof from him and look in his mirror and do as he has told us to and not be hearers only, then we're going to be very wise. In Proverbs 30, verse 12, he says, "There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness." So we can wash ourselves in our own sight, but is that going to make us washed? It's not. If we've done wrong and we think we've done right, if we've done wrong, we've done wrong, and we're still in that filth. Then we have Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 25, Proverbs 16, verse 25, and this is also the same statement that he makes in Proverbs 14, 12, but he says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." So it might seem right to us. We can convince ourselves quite well of our own righteousness. But what's the end of that if we're really not doing right? It will be to our spiritual death, as we're going to be judged by the Lord according to what we have done. And this is sadly going to be the outcome of most people. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Matthew 7, 13 and 14, the Lord said, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." So where's the vast majority of people? What road are they on? The broad road that leads to destruction, but how many of them recognize that's the road they're on? They're on the broad road that leads to destruction, but almost all of them have convinced themselves of what? That they're on the other road. To eternal life. So we can see the power that is there in man's ability to deceive himself, but that's leading to destruction. The end thereof are the ways of death. So God commands us to be different from most men. In Proverbs 3 and verse 7, he says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." In the New Testament, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 18, he says, "For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." That's a strong statement we have there in 2 Corinthians 10, 18. It is, "For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." Do we get to ultimately pass judgment on ourselves, even though we are doing that on a regular basis? And the tendency, again, is for us to be constantly telling ourselves, you're fine, you're okay. But is that how we're going to be approved, according to our being able to commend ourselves? No, it's whom the Lord commends. That's based on what we've really done and who we are. We need to remember that one and remember it regularly. So it is essential for us not to be like most people, but rather that we accept correction and see ourselves as the Lord sees us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 12, we can see that this is what the Apostle Paul was striving to do. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, he says, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known." Did Paul desire to know as God knew him? He wanted to know Christ, and he wanted to know all that was in the heart of Christ so he could be like that and know himself, and according to that standard, measuring himself by God's standard properly, to know himself as the Lord knew him. And that should be the goal that we all have. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, in verse 5, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, and let's keep in mind, again, this is written to Christians, so this is what God was writing to his own children. He says, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith." Notice he doesn't say, "Examine yourselves to see how great or small your faith is." He starts with, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith." I mean, how strict do we need to be in our examination of ourselves? When we look in the mirror of God's word, we need to look at all that's there. Are we in the faith? Are we doing what those who are in the faith would do? Is our heart like those who are in the faith? He says, "Prove your own selves." We need to test our own selves. How many of us like tests? We got a lot of students in here. How do you like exams? But spiritually, we need to be giving ourselves an exam every day. Now, just a little while ago, we partook of the Lord's Supper. And on that, when we do that every week, one of the main purposes of that very important commandment that we obey in observing the Lord's Supper is to examine ourselves as we eat of that unleavened bread and drink of that fruit of the vine. We're commanded to do that then, but we don't need to, that doesn't need to be the extent of our self-examination. How often should we look in the mirror? We need to be looking in the mirror every day, and we need to be examining ourselves and testing our own selves. He says, "Know you not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates." So we must examine ourselves and be searching ourselves to see what the Lord sees, and then to do as he has taught us to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, as we just noted, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, here's what the Lord instructs that we do at that time. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, actually we'll read, let's see, if I can get into 1 Corinthians and out of 2 Corinthians in my page turning here. Apologize for that. 1 Corinthians 11, 28 to 32. He says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." I mean, what's the end result of not examining ourselves as we should? Weak and sickly. And being asleep spiritually. He says, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." So if we'll do the examination of ourselves now and measuring ourselves now according to what God teaches us and do something about it now, that will save us from being condemned in the judgment at the end. But if we don't judge ourselves now, and we're clean in our own eyes, then what's going to happen on judgment day? Then we're going to receive that condemnation. He says, "But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." So yes, we're going to be chastened. We're going to be corrected by his word. We're going to see all the things that aren't right when we look in the mirror. But if we'll do that and continue to do that and then do his word and not hear it only, then we will escape that condemnation of the world on judgment day. So we've got to give ourselves lots of exams. We have to do that every day and test ourselves, examine ourselves, and make sure that we're turning our feet to do the will of God. Psalm 119, verse 59. He says, I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. How are we going to turn our feet to God's testimonies if we're not thinking, if we're not pondering the path of our feet and looking at where our steps are on his own and what road we're on? We're not going to be able to turn our feet to his ways if we don't look at where they are and where they're walking. We've got to examine ourselves in that. Lamentations, the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 40. I know this isn't a book that we turn to a lot. We probably should more than we do. But he says, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Once more, how are we going to turn our to the Lord if we're not searching and testing, trying our ways? So we have so many verses, Old and New Testament, that emphasize the necessity of our doing that. In the book of 2 Corinthians, back to that book in chapter 10, in verse 12, he says, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So when we go to find the standard of measurement to judge ourselves by, to escape condemnation, how important is it that we're measuring ourselves by the correct standard? That's all important. Now, one way that we might be tempted to measure ourselves to help us to feel better about ourselves, and this goes along with making our ways seem clean in our own eyes, if we can find some other person to measure ourselves by, it's really not that difficult to find somebody to look at that obviously looks like they're living in a much worse way than we are, and then we can feel, compared to them, yeah, I feel pretty, I'm doing all right compared to that. But is that the standard we're going to be judged by? Are we going to be judged by how we compare, measure ourselves to other men? That's not how God is going to judge us, and we don't want to get caught up in doing that. Again, 2 Corinthians, written to Christians, were there any of them that were falling into that trap, that were measuring themselves among themselves or by the standard of other men? They were doing that, obviously. And they were being warned not to do that, as we are being warned there not to do that. We're not to measure ourselves according to other men as our standard. Man must not be our standard of measurement. Well, for one thing, what does Romans 3, verse 23 say about all men? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he says the same thing in Romans chapter 5, in verse 12, when he says that death, spiritual death, is passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We have many statements in God's word that say the same thing, that man has, when we look at man, all men have failed and have transgressed God's law. There's only one exception to that, and of course the right standard of measurement for us, and that's Jesus Christ. But if we're measuring ourselves by other men, we're going to be measuring ourselves by a standard that comes short of God's glory. Paul said he would not dare to do that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, he said, for we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. He wouldn't dare do that. Why not? Well, then he'd be measuring himself by the wrong standard and would end up being condemned. We have a very notable example in Luke chapter 18 that Jesus teaches us about and uses as a warning. One who was praying, and we can see in this prayer how this particular individual was very successfully deceiving himself as he was measuring himself by other men. And even in doing this, he was mismeasuring himself according to this person that he was looking at and despising. In fact, the one he was measuring himself against and looked at himself as being better than, he was actually worse than. So it was an inaccurate measurement of himself using the wrong standard. So in Luke chapter 18, If we can turn over there and read verses 10 through, starting in verse 9, down through verse 14, he says, "He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others." So did they have an unusual disease here? They were trusting in themselves that they were righteous. What's the difference between that and saying every way of a man is right in his own eyes? I mean, they were doing what just about everybody else does. And who were they using as a standard of measurement to help themselves to feel better about themselves? They were despising others. So they were looking at other men as their standard of measurement. Well, we're way better than that. We're so much more righteous than these ones are. And so they were commending themselves, but they were not being approved of God in doing so. And so in verse 10, here's his parable that he was teaching. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Now, as background, these Pharisees were the leaders of the synagogues of the Jews. I mean, they were the main religious leaders and teachers for the people in their towns and villages in Israel. The publicans were Jews who had joined in with the Romans as instruments of taxing on the bridges and the roadways that they had to collect tolls. They would extort, overcharge, as they were then allowed to keep the difference from what they would owe the Romans there. So here were their fellow Jews who were extorting their own brethren in assisting their Roman rulers in this particular work. So how were they viewed by the Jews? I mean, the Pharisees were religiously at the top. Publicans were the most despised. I mean, so they're at the bottom. So this is as far as the example goes, the extremes that existed in that time for looking at men and how they were viewed by the people. So the Pharisee, in verse 11, stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican." Now, when was the last time that we prayed and thanked God that we weren't like everybody else? I hope that we have no memory of praying that. If that's how we started our day this morning, this should call us to do differently and do better. But that's how this man was praying. He was thanking God. I'm not like other people are, especially this guy. He could see that publicly. He obviously knew who he was. And thanking God he wasn't like that. And he wasn't like that man, as Jesus is going to point out. But before the Lord gets to pointing out how the humility of this publican who was repentant, verse 12, this Pharisee wasn't done, as he had to then boast to the Lord and remind God of how great he was and all the good things he'd been doing. "I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And he says in verse 13, "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Had he looked in the mirror? He looked in the mirror. And what did he see? Well, he was measuring himself now by God's standard and what God said he should be. And did he see that he didn't measure up? He saw that. And what was his response? Did he argue with the mirror? Did he decide to go away and forget what he looked like? No, he saw what was there. It was not a pretty sight. And he humbled himself and he begged for God's mercy as he was repenting of his sins. And so in verse 14, Jesus said, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." So we have to measure ourselves, but after the standard of God's word, not according to men. Because if we commend ourselves, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 18, as we saw earlier in that chapter, if we are commending ourselves or measuring ourselves by others, it's not whom commends himself that is going to be approved, but whom God commends. And he tells us if we are using other men as our standard of judgment, that we are not wise. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 18 says, "For now he that commendeth himself, not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth." Those who are comparing themselves among themselves in verse 12, at the end of that verse, he says they are not wise. So we don't want to be foolish and measure ourselves by the wrong standard. We need to measure ourselves by the standard that God gives us. And we'll close in Ephesians chapter 4 as we have God's word that reveals to us the heart of God, especially through his son Jesus Christ. And there we have the one who overcame every temptation, who never committed sin, who was spiritually complete, that is our example to follow. And so in Ephesians chapter 4, in verses 11 through 13, he says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So what is our measure that we're to use? What is the standard? Jesus Christ is the standard. So we need to know him. We need to know his heart, and we need to look at him and see who, what we are, what we're like in comparison. And then we need whatever is in us that's not in him, we need to have that purged from us. And whatever is in him, if we're lacking, then we need that in us. And so we have that standard to seek so we can be conformed to his image and fulfill God's purpose for us. And this is an opportunity for you to begin the race to do that if you've not yet done so. By obeying the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation, Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. And when we believe in Christ, that is how we will not die in our sins, John 8 verse 24. But that faith has to be demonstrated through our obedience to his commandments. He says for us to repent and be baptized, every one of us, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins in Acts chapter 2 verse 38. And so we want to encourage anyone that is here this morning that has the need to obey Christ's gospel and be baptized into him. We would be very happy to assist you in your obedience to the gospel this morning if that is your need. If you are a member of the Lord's body and you have need of the prayers of the church or need to repent of anything that is not right in your life, if you are going to measure yourself according to the measure of the standard that God has given us in his word by Jesus Christ, his son, then you're also encouraged to come forward this morning at this time. If anyone needs to respond to the Lord's invitation, please do so while we stand together and sing.